Okay, we are back on the record. While we're off the record, the parties stipulated to the following coming in as full exhibits. We have complainant J, which is an email from the complainant to the commission, including a hyperlink to the state comptroller's website. Complainant K, which is the respondent's application to DECD for a 2025 legislative grant. Complainant L, which is a contract between the respondents and DECD for the 2025 legislative grant. Complainant M is an audit report of the respondents prepared for DECD dated January 20th, 2026. And respondents 4, which is the amended bylaws of the respondents. Have I marked these exhibits correctly?
Yes.
Great, thank you. Okay, while we were off the record, there were also 3 proposed exhibits that were objected to, and we'll take those up now in turn. The first one is a timeline of the respondents with respect to the wire fraud ongoing situation. And I believe, I'm not sure if it was an objection, but at least
I just want to put something on the record for the public if this goes out. You know, this is my timeline that I did based on my internal investigation for my client. I cannot say whether anything in here is 100% a fact. And it's based on several interviews I had. We did not interview Senator McCrory. I just wanted to make that clear on the record.
And then this was provided to DECD, correct?
It was. They asked for the results of our internal investigation. And so then, obviously, to comply with the state, we provided it as requested.
So this is a timeline of the respondents' investigation into wire fraud based upon your investigation and impressions.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that clear for the record.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So this would be complainants N.
N as in Nancy?
As in Nancy, yes.
Did I miss M?
M was the audit report.
Oh, my apologies.
And then next we have an email from Vicki Gallen-Clark to Senator McCrory dated October 24th, 2024. And this was objected to. First, what's the purpose of this email?
This email is to display, it's an email from Vicki to Senator McCrory to display his heavy involvement in the operations of Blue Hill Civic Association.
Okay. And the objection?
My objection is hearsay. The people that were involved in the email are not here. They cannot be crossed to understand what this was really talking about. And so it is clearly hearsay.
It is hearsay, but this is an administrative proceeding and we allow hearsay. So I'm going to overrule the objection. Allow this in. This would be complainants.
My objection for this next one, I mean, it's the same, but I guess I know how it'll be ruled on. But I would also note that it's not even clear like who it's to. So I would hope that it will be given the weight it deserves based on the fact that it's not.
Let me just get there before you
get
to it. Sorry, I have to mark it. Thank you. Okay, all right, sorry. All right, so then we have the final proposed exhibit, which is a screenshot of an email dated April 10th, 2025. And I think you were trying to object to it.
Sorry, I didn't realize we had moved on. I was just trying to be efficient. If I can at least ask her to lay a foundation just so, because it's like a screenshot of an email with no to, I just want to know what it is or where she got it.
I received this from an FOI to the Office of Policy and Management, and the foundation for this is showing that nearly all state funds come from the state for Blue Hill Civic Association.
Yeah, I don't mind.
A picture of a document.
I'm sorry, I don't have a scanner at my house, sir. I don't.
Yeah, the email sent was like a image format, right, of this. But could you?
So I received it as a paper document. Mm-hmm. I can go and get it like professionally scanned in, if that is better.
Either scan it or, sure. or make a copy of it that we can then that you can then send to both the respondents, respondent, and me, the commission.
So it won't come in at this time, just to be clear. I can't.
Right. So I'm going to hold off until we receive the actual document itself that we can look at, and then at that time I will add it to the list, unless there's some other objection that the respondent has that I would sustain. Okay, so for now, I'm gonna kick this out. And then this is for, obviously I'm just requesting that you do give us a sort of better scanned copy of that. Okay, so with all of that out of the way, we are still waiting on the respondent's witness. While we're waiting, we can at least discuss the fact that the commission issued orders with regard to additional testimony documented evidence that we were requesting from the respondent to help establish some of the factors that they're arguing. And I know that we received a late postponement request, which was denied for this hearing. I guess I want to ask Attorney Gambertella to let us know sort of what happened with all of that.
So I had originally discussed this with when I had originally discussed this, I did discuss this with Russell Blair because I was trying to figure out what to do because this is a weird matter. I explained that none of the people that would be relevant are employees of Blue Hills anymore, and therefore we don't have most of their contact information. We have their work emails that aren't connected to them anymore. And they're also people that, since they were let go by Blue Hills, would be assumed to be very hostile and also wouldn't respond to us because we don't have any connection to them anymore. And so that was my first reply. I understood from talking to him that I thought that if I explained who would be the best one, that the commission might use its subpoena power. So that's why I responded that way at first. And then when I saw the reply, I called him again to discuss maybe what could be done. So I spent some time trying to go back through old emails, and we were able to find a personal email from Ms. Clark. So we emailed her. She surprisingly did respond because the last communication we had with her was, the last communication we had with her was not good months ago. I'll leave it at that. And this time she responded with her attorney. I think maybe because she saw that it was an official order, she decided to respond and said that she might be able to appear. And then her attorney replied and said, He could do March 31st or April 7th. And then I just emailed this morning again, trying to say, could you even appear like via Zoom or call in? And the response I got from the attorney was very much, don't talk to us anymore. You can talk to me, but it's not happening today. So she is not here.
So when did you send that email to?
We sent that on Friday.
So you received an order on March 13th and did not reach out or do anything until Friday before this hearing.
So I will be clear, because I don't want it to look like I wasn't compliant. I did talk to Russell Blair, and the conversation I had then, I gave that advice to my client. The advice that I thought I received was, I explained to him the whole situation, that these are people who don't work for us anymore. The last conversation was really hostile, and he said, oh, that makes sense. And then
right.
I thought,
this is all based on an assumption that you have. This is, and then a conversation with the ombudsman. It's not, you know, complying with an order of the commission. I guess that's just the point I want to get across, is that we're sitting here today and the witness can't be here because you didn't reach out until Friday when you had an order on March 13th and you didn't do anything with that order. So I guess I'm just frustrated. But we are where we are, I suppose. And it is what it is. Okay. Dr. Reed?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Dr. Reed, you were previously sworn in at our last hearing, so I'm going to consider you still under oath here today, okay?
Okay.
You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. At our last hearing, you did testify with respect to sort of the general purpose of the association and the types of programs that it undertakes. And you also testified that you weren't necessarily the best person to provide testimony as to the day-to-day operations. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm not the best person.
And you are the chairman of the board?
That's
chairperson of the board?
That's correct.
And who else is on that board with you?
We have three other members.
And can you state for the record who those are?
Josh Hall, mm-hmm. Shamika Smith, and Ian Smith.
Right. And Senator McCrory was previously a member of the board, is that correct or no?
No.
No. So just, okay. Would any of those board members be more involved in the day-to-day operations of the association?
No.
Okay. So the executive director of the association handled the day-to-day operations and sort of ran the agency, and then reported back to the board as to what they were doing. Is that accurate?
Yeah, to some extent. This reporting was done on every other month, more like our executive summary of over big scale leadership matter, but not the nitty gritty of the program.
Okay. What about with respect to oversight from a state agency such as, you know, DECD with respect to the grant funding that your association received? Did you have any involvement or understanding, I suppose, of DECD's role with respect to your agency?
No, not as a board. We didn't even have the contract.
Okay, so all of that was handled by the executive director.
Exactly.
And then they would report sort of broadly as to what they were doing, were there goals they were trying to reach? What was the, can you sort of give me an idea of what was presented to you as the board?
As the board, it's more like funding. We're looking for additional funding source. We had a economic development project that was going to be underway, so it was more like giving in a report on where that is. But like I said, like the nitty gritty of what's going on from a day to day, that's not the board. Oversee the financial statement that was presented to us in a quarterly manner. And much of those statements weren't approved at that time because sometimes the board had pushed back. So some of those things weren't approved.
pushback is for proposed spending or?
Just how it was presented wasn't clear to the board. What else?
But from a, just to, because she did say it last time, from a top down, the grant that she's bringing up is the $5.5 million one. They get 1.1 to administer the grant.
Right.
The other ones, they're just a pass through to these different community agencies. She did say that last time. I just want to, I don't know if she realizes that's the
right
what we're talking about.
Right. And I came on, I took on chairmanship when this was all in effect. So I didn't have any say or anything was presented to me as a chair. I kind of inherit this right before the...
When was that? Can you, when did that begin again? I can't remember.
When I took on was September. Is it September? I know we had the conversation in August, but my chairmanship, I believe, started September of 2024.
So you're saying so late August or early September of 2024?
That's correct. That's when my chairmanship or chairwomanship board president started. And so, as you can see, the grant was long before I took on.
So at the time that you became chair of the board, money had already been received from DCD, had the subgrantees already been identified?
See how they were identified, I'm not privy to.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the board, much of those things were shielded because we asked questions. But the selection process.
Sorry, what do you mean by shield?
Meaning the board wasn't aware until how subgrantee were selected.
So the executive director the day-to-day running of the association took care of all of that.
That's correct.
And then wouldn't necessarily share that with you unless you asked questions about it?
That's correct.
At any point when you were the chair before, I suppose, this wire fraud came to your knowledge, were any state officials, were you in contact with any state officials with respect to the association and how it should be run or with what it was doing or where monies were going or how the grant was being supervised?
No. My only contact is when we as a board learned in March of the fraudulent wire, and then I reached out to the CFO regarding his contact with the state, and that's when I started my initiation with the state in March.
And then, so you had no contact with DCD, for example?
No.
And none with any legislators other than the board member, Mr. Hall?
No.
All right. I'm not sure if you have any questions for your witness here today.
In trying to get the commission the information that it wants without Vicky here, I mean, so when she would present, she presented every month to the board about what they were doing?
It wasn't every month. It's every other month is when we had the board meeting. But she and I had requested that she and I meet every 2 weeks just to give me an overview of what's coming down the pipeline. I've also requested that the budget was sent to me at least 3 weeks before the board meeting. That only happened once. And... so the CFO started in September of that, the same time I assume the board president, the CFO started and I had asked because we've had issues.
And who's that?
Tom Sussman.
And was he a government official anyway related to the government?
Not to my knowledge.
He was a private accountant.
A private person or employee.
And he has since been let go?
That's correct.
And during those, I mean, so did you meet with her every, like, about every 2 weeks?
About every two, but then towards the holiday time, it was every 2 weeks because I was traveling.
Right.
So we zoomed back.
And during the meeting, she would discuss some of, like, the programming that was going on?
More like her, who she's meeting with, funding source that she's looking into, and so when she finally notified me of the fraudulent encounter, it was the day of our board meeting, which is, I believe it was March 19th. And so she and I have been meeting every 2 weeks before, but she has never disclosed that to me until the 19th, right before the board meeting. And I'd asked her a question and she wasn't being frank with me. And I realized that she wasn't being frank. So I alarmed the board that this is coming down the pipeline and we need to press for answers, which we did. And that's when we started our timeline as a board. And I sent an email out to her requesting some documents. And she refused to provide those documents. A request in contact with the states. She refused to do so. We had asked her, who did she notify? And she said she notified everyone, but we found out that was truthful.
So before notifying DCD, they were not, to your knowledge, like heavily involved with the organization?
No, but I think she had, she probably speak with DCD more often. But I can't, that's just my assumption based off the conversation I'd had with the deputy commissioner of when did he made aware of the incident by the executive director.
And that's Mr. Pugliese, is that correct?
That's correct.
And when was he made aware, do you recall?
Around the same timeline, because she had just sent like a nonchalant conversation. And he realized that this is something that, that needs to be escalated and needed to be informed within 24 hours when it occurred and when they were notified in December.
You had testified at the prior hearing sort of about the programs that your association runs, like youth summer program.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me some more details about what specifically those are? I'm not super familiar with what a youth program is generally. Like, can you give me detail about?
Well, I could provide more, but yeah, I can't tell you about the day to day, but that's how my relationship started with the organization, because one of my expertise focusing on youth development. There's two arms of youth program that the organization provided. One is in a high school, Weaver High. And then another one is summer youth employment, where they would do all the recruiting, application, and then place young people in positions across the city.
Help you get them summer employment?
So yes, youth summer employment.
And what about the Weaver High School program? What was that about?
That was more around working with children in terms of improving academic attendance, grades, support. And so they'll do a lot of some case management with the family to kind of ensure that everyone is on the same page to get the young youth up to par for academic success, whatever that looks like after graduation.
And when you say that, you mean Blue Hills employees?
Blue Hills employees. Yeah. Those are the two that I know more about, but like I said, there were others. But
there's elderly programs too?
There was one program in the north end adult center, I believe. I don't know what that entail. They also were responsible for the flood disbursement of fund in the Hartford area.
So they helped disperse some funds to help people.
Yeah, with the flooding, given the area in Hartford that was prone to flooding during weather.
Object to that. I don't think that's an accurate characterization. My understanding of that money was for marketing to make sure people were aware of the funds to direct them to the comptroller's office to apply for the funds.
Well, perhaps you know more than I do.
And where is your information? I mean, she's testifying from personal. What are you testifying from?
She's objecting. So I say you believe that that testimony is inaccurate. I'm not sure I totally follow why. Can you just?
I don't think the money for the flood mitigation ever hit Blue Hills' bank account. I think the money that went to Blue Hills was, there was two buckets of money that went out from the comptroller's office. Is from my conversation with the comptroller's office about those grants from the comptroller's office. One was to make sure people were aware that there was this bucket of money that they could access. The money that went to Blue Hills, which was a much smaller bucket than the actual amount of money for flood mitigation relief.
She knows more than I regarded that.
But did that money go to Blue Hills Association? And so the money that went to Blue Hills Association, you're saying, is for education purposes to alert the community?
It's for street outrage, marketing, advertising. I'm sure, find the contract that they had with Blue Hills, or I probably have it in an email actually explaining to me what it was for. But that's my understanding of what it was for.
Okay.
I mean, I know you asked me what the service is, to my knowledge, and I'm explaining to you, to my knowledge, how it was presented to the board.
Sure.
And that's what I'm doing.
I understand that. So were the two functions of the Blue Hills Association, one was the actual like management of the programs for like the youth employment program, going into the schools, like helping the children. Was that one of the main functions of Blue Hills Association? And the other one was apparently distributing money that it received to organizations within the community? Is that accurate to say that those were sort of two separate arms of the association and what it did?
I mean, if you think about the mission of the organization, then the presentation wouldn't be accurate.
I'm sorry, would or would not?
Would not be accurate if you think about the mission of the organization, which is to provide service across the lifespan. So I don't know if I can answer to that in terms of that it provides service and then one of its arm is to serve as a disbursement of fund. If you think about the grant that she's referring to, a contract that she's referring to, which is the DEC grant, yes, a significant amount of that fund was supposed to be distributed out to other organizations, and the organization only retained a small percentage of that for administrative fee.
Was that the first time that Blue Hills Association, in to your knowledge, has been has performed that function where it received a grant from the state to then disperse funds to the community?
To my knowledge, I can't think of any other. Like I said, I came on later in terms of a membership on the board.
Do you happen to know whether that's true in your own research?
The Blue Hills Civic Association, it's in exhibit, the comptroller rundown of funding that they've received. It shows, as well as in the legislative application, or the application by Blue Hills for funding, it shows which years Blue Hills has received legislative grants.
Mm-hmm.
And so the legislative grant at question, I believe, I submitted their 2025 application, but I believe they have received it two prior years to that as well, that same grant. But I cannot speak to whether that money was passed through or not without pulling up those contracts and speaking to that. And I'm happy to offer it to the doctor if you'd like.
So can you, talking about complaints F, which has the breakdown of funding, where it says the expense category, and it says pass-through grant non-state. Do you know, is that representative of a pass-through grant, basically, that they would receive to then provide funding to another agency, or no, am I reading that wrong?
It's a pass-through that state agency, not a pass-through the laws.
Ah, got it, okay.
Yeah, so a lot of federal money comes into state agencies and then is passed through, and the state agencies, like the administrative, handles the applications, disbursement of funds, et cetera, such as the ARPA grant, which is one of the grants that issue gets.
So it's referring to the state being agency, not the recipient.
Correct, yes.
And then, sorry, I think I distracted myself from your testimony. You said that you think one of your exhibits might show other times this legislative grant was provided to them of the same nature, where they would have been the pass-through for subgrantees.
I can certainly, I know for a fact that they have received the legislative grant outside of fiscal 25, which is what I submitted the application for, or the, as an exhibit, it's exhibit K.
Mm-hmm.
And in that grant, I believe it shows the subgrantees as well.
So anytime that they received this legislative grant, it would have been this type of grant, right? As you're saying.
This type of application.
This type of application.
And contract is, I believe, the same from year to year, but I can confirm that. I know that in their tax filings, they also have, it doesn't break it out by individual grant, but in the tax filings, it also has where the funding is going. So I believe I submitted that as an exhibit.
Is that I? The tax filing for 2023?
Yeah. Why I don't have I. But I believe.
Can she make a statement regarding what we're talking about?
Sure.
Yeah.
So my knowledge and the board knowledge, the first time the organization is receiving this pass-through grant that you're referring to, that you're making it seem like you received multiple years, was 2025.
The 5.5.
The 5.5.
So they may have received a different kind the year before, but in terms of the pass-through, passing it through to all the different communities.
Yeah, that was the first time to the board's knowledge that was happening.
Well, right, but were you on the board before you became chair?
Yes.
And how long were you on the board before you became chair? When did you begin on the board, I guess?
Maybe a year before.
Okay. So in your, to your knowledge, from the time that you started on the board, this was the only time that Blue Hills received a pass-through grant like this.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Administrator Thomas, do you have any questions, additional questions for the witness based on what we've discussed here today?
You mentioned that you met with Vicki Gallen-Clark every 2 weeks. At any point, did you discuss how subgrantees were being chosen?
I mentioned that before that, no.
She
never did.
I apologize, I missed that. When you met with her, were you ever informed who the subgrantees were?
No.
And when you met with her, were you ever, did you ever go over the budget for the subgrantees?
No, that was outside of, no.
That's all.
All right. I just want to. So the executive director served at the pleasure of the board. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So you had the power to fire her, or
the board?
The board did. I'm sorry, not you specifically, but the board did. Okay.
That's correct. I mean, can I follow up to that?
Sure.
So even though that's how it's written in the bylaw, so if we're taking the fraudulent wire, when I asked her why this wasn't presented to the board, she said she didn't think it was needed for the board because it was in her authority to deal with it at her level. So I'm just trying to paint the relationship. So as much...
I'm sorry, can you explain to me? It wasn't whose authority? The board's authority?
It wasn't the board's authority to be aware of the wire fraud activity. So I just want to paint the picture. As much as she served at the pleasure at the board, much of the information was withheld from the board.
I understand that.
Okay.
It's abundantly clear.
Okay.
But you had the power and did... The board decided to terminate her.
Yeah, once it came to light to us as a board and we started, yeah, we did execute the board's authority.
And when did the board ultimately terminate her as executive director?
March or April.
I can see. It doesn't have to be.
It's so. Exactly. It could be the end of March because she was placed on administrative leave while there was an internal investigation. So it could be the end of March, early April.
Of last year.
That's correct, 2025.
It was in April.
Early April. Okay. I'm not sure I have any more questions. Thank you for coming in again. Do you have any redirect for your witness, Attorney Gabriella?
No.
Could I just offer one thing? I found I misspoke. The legislative grant was only 2 years. So there's 2024 and 2025. And Exhibit 5, you'll see on page 8, a rundown of all the grants that.
Exhibit 5?
Exhibit M.
Oh, if you want it.
Yeah. You'll see on page 8.
Yeah.
A rundown of all grants. You'll notice there was a $5.5 million in fiscal 24, as well as in fiscal 25 for the same amount, $5.5 million.
All right, so the one that is the one that is an issue with the wire fraud is the fiscal year 2025, for which we have the application and the other. And then for fiscal year 2024, this appears to be the same type of grant, the same amount of money. Are you familiar with this grant?
So if you're looking at it by calendar year, so 2024 would be
it's fiscal year 24.
Right, so if it's fiscal year 24 and our fiscal year end in June or July, what's the fiscal year in the rent?
So fiscal 24, there was a 5.5 million.
But what was the fiscal year? Is it January? Is it ending in July?
It's on state fiscal year.
And what
so
is that?
And ends June 30th.
Okay. So then, like I said, to my knowledge, that's when I know of, or the board know of.
The, so did this happen before you were on the board?
What?
The other legislative grant in fiscal 2024.
Not to my knowledge. It wasn't presented, to my knowledge, as a board member, that wasn't presented to us until 2024. Let's see. So the incident occurred 2024.
I think you're asking
about
the grant.
No, because I have to try to trace back. So the incident occurred 2025. And so that means I would have been on the, my chairmanship started September. So the grant would already been in place.
But you were on the board.
Yeah.
For a year prior to that.
That's correct.
So ostensibly you would have been on the board during fiscal year 2024 when they got this $5.5 million grant.
Yes, and this is why I noted that much of the financial statement were never approved by the board because it was always presented in a manner that was not proper. And so it was pushed back. So even if it was there, it was never presented like that to us.
So is your testimony that Blue Hills Association received $5.5 million from the state
mm-hmm.
in 2024, fiscal 2024, and the board had no idea?
I'm not saying the board had no idea. I'm just saying how it was presented on the statement.
From the executive director to the board.
To the board, or it wasn't presented how an income statement should be presented.
And you're saying you don't know exactly where the money went to from that one.
Yeah, because the issue that we have with how funding were presented, they were all commingled. So we always ask for them to be separated. So we as a board have a sense where they are coming from. To this day, that's the issue. Well, until the organization no longer in existence or pending existence, we still are unable to divvy which fund belonged to which account, if that makes sense.
So in like 2024, you wouldn't be aware that, for example, like the vast majority of your funding is coming from one pot because when it's presented to you, it's, this is all of the funding we're getting.
That's
so
correct.
Even if it's 5.6 million and 5.5 is coming from the state, you wouldn't have known that.
That's correct. It's because we had other nonprofit organization where funds were coming in.
So the executive director would say, like, this is all the money we're getting. Would she break out where it was coming from? At least, no.
To my knowledge, no. That's what I'm trying to convey to you.
No, I know. I'm somewhat shocked. So
no,
I know it sounds very
uncharacteristic. This is why we always have a back and forth with our financial statement in our meetings.
Right.
And this is why we also ask for a CFO, because who was running the financial aspect of the organization wasn't doing the job.
And then the CFO came in
September of 2024.
September of 2024.
That's when the 2024 grant would have probably started into the account. So that's when the first grant that the agency received would have started rolling it into the accounts. So even though it showed that the fiscal year was, you said July or June?
The first fiscal year would have started in July of 2023.
Yeah, so that makes sense. Yeah.
And then those monies start to come to you in around September of 2024?
Yeah.
So at that time, did you...
That timeline doesn't make sense. That you were getting fiscal 24 grant for in fiscal 25.
I started 2024.
Right, but fiscal September 2024 when Tom Sussman started.
Mm-hmm.
That's fiscal 25.
Okay, so then
so
we're
if
here.
Your testimony
okay, so then,
is you're getting that money a year after the fiscal or months after the fiscal year.
So you're talking about the second grant.
That's what I'm privy to.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. When Mr. Sussman came in, did you start to get more information about the finances?
So he came into the board meeting and presented similar what was in place, and I had a meeting with him and said, this is not acceptable. With the limited knowledge that I know of income statement, I said, this is what we've been given to the board. And so we need better. And I believe I shared a template of what we're looking for. And that he sent an income statement with a correction. And that was the last time I received an advance income financial statement.
So not really, I guess is the answer.
Not really.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm not sure I have anything else at this time. I'm not sure where to go from here. But yeah, I mean, I don't think there's anything more we can do today. I'm going to consider what the next step should be. So I'm not going to close out the hearing. I'm just going to end it here today. And then you'll receive a notice from the commission letting you know what comes next. So unless anyone has anything else they'd like to say here today?
Will there be an opportunity to do like closing and arguments?
I will be ordering briefs.
Okay.
So that will be coming at some point.
Would the commission like I can continue to communicate if the commission wants to speak with Vicky, her attorney, or I can give the commission the attorney's email. I'm not sure how much they're going to speak to me, so.
Understood. I'm going to consider all of that when I determine whether or not that's necessary and what to do next. And then I do want the complainant to resubmit or submit a clean copy of that email so that we have that, which I will then take into evidence and make sure we give a copy to the respondent as well. Okay. Anything more from you? No? Okay. All right. So I'm going to end the hearing here today at 12:15 p.m. Thank you very much.